I would drop the entire Bengals backfield for Buck Allen.
Whoa. Hold your horses there, Walsh.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh. I am here with my co-host, my friend, who I saw this past weekend. We watched the Falcons Falcons-Packers game together, which is weird. I saw Vinny twice in 2 weeks. I normally see him twice a year. But anyway, I'm here with Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what's going on, man?
What's up, dude? Yeah, I've on quite the streak right now.
Oh, yeah, dude, we're cruising. We got podcasts together 2 weeks in a row. We hung out on Sunday night, man. We're like the best of friends right now. It's pretty cool.
My favorite part of that is we totally monopolized the recap and just told Don and Matt to suck it, and they have
straight up. We agreed on Sunday night as we were watching this game that we would do the recap podcast together. And here we are to do just that, to recap the week two action. So we'll get to that in just a minute. First, though, I would like to give a shout out to Bench Boss. You know them as ViewPick if you've been listening all year, but they do have a new name as of the past couple weeks. That being said, they're still the revolutionary app that allows you to play fantasy football live while watching the game on TV. Predict the plays, the result of the play, and literally play fantasy football. You can sign up for the beta now by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/benchboss. So with that out of the way, guys, we'll get one more little plug out of the way. If you listen to us and you enjoy us, please subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Maybe give us a review, give us a like on whatever platform you'd like to. And also, guys, make sure you check out the Let's Talk Fantasy Football apps available on both Apple and iOS and compatible with your Amazon Echo. So with that being said, Vinny, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. There are a lot of injuries. There's a lot of news. We're going to go through waiver pickups. We're going to go through who you can drop, who you should be panicking about. And we're going to bring back the fan favorite. I don't know if it's actually any fans' favorites, but it's our favorite kind of. We're going to bring back the fan favorite segment, Whack-Ass Backfields, which we should get some sort of drop for that, like a real deep voice and like air horns and shit. But I don't know. Other than that, Vinny and I are both going to get real drunk, and we're gonna tell you guys what the deal is. So, Vinny, you ready to get into this?
Yeah, man. Let's go.
All right. So let's start off with some injuries. The biggest thing this week was a lot of tight ends got injured. So when we're talking about waiver pickups, we're going to get into a lot of tight ends because there's a good chance that you need one. So in the least surprising news ever, Jordan Reed is injured. He injured his chest. He is considered day-to-day. However, he did come back into this game in the fourth, I believe. So just keep an eye on that. Vinny, do you have any more insight on Jordan Reed there?
No, that's pretty much all that happened. It's a good thing he came back, but you know, it's the same old story with Jordan Reed so far. I was wondering, Walsh, do you think that he's kind of a buy low, or to see if you can package him into some trade with people, or are you just wanting nothing to do with him right now?
I would probably be looking to buy him right now because the Redskins have started off very, very poorly. So Jordan Reed's value is probably at the lowest it's going to be all year. I'd be pretty into buying him low at this point.
Yeah, there's something I toss back and forth, and it's like I wouldn't go out and trade specifically for Reed, but maybe add him in as a piece to either trade away or trade for. I just thought it was an interesting concept for him right now because, like you said, bottom of the barrel for him.
Yeah, for sure. I like that. You want to run through a couple of these other guys here, the other tight ends?
Yeah, perfect handoff, Walsh. We'll go right to my shitty team with the Bengals and Tyler Eifert, again, dealing with the many injuries he's always had to deal with his back and knee. Just seems to be the ailments that are causing a lot of problems for him just continuously. So there's no clarity on any of this. It's just that he's dealing with these injuries and he's up in the air for next week. So none of that news is good, and it makes me worried to start him because they did this a couple times, I think 2 years ago, where they would start him and he would just be kind of a decoy or help blocking. So I don't know if I would even play him if this news doesn't get better. See how he's logging practices. If he gets a full in or at least a couple in, then it would be more like acceptable to play him. But I would be very worried if he misses or is limited in practice throughout the week.
Yeah, and it's a shame because he, you know, during the early parts of that game, it seemed like he was playing pretty well. He was getting open, and Dalton was finding him. So it's quite a bummer there. Talk to me about the next guy in that Patriots game there.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gronk. Again, one that's just continuously been another ailment keeping up with him is the groin injury. So he caught that monster touchdown, pretty much left the game, did not return. Got worked on in that weird trainer's tent that they pop up now, which just take the dude to the locker room. I got to do that shit.
That is weird.
I really don't like it. Like, they're like, oh, he's going in the tent. And it's like very creepy looking. They just pop it open. A bunch of hands and just guys in there.
Yeah. I felt like there was, I don't know if it was on purpose, but I felt like there was some wordplay with Gronk popping a tent just based on his, you know, his
thing. Yeah, the groin injury, popping a tent, Gronk, 69 touchdowns, all that good shit. Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff going on there. We'll let you guys really flesh it out among yourselves. But
lots of good stuff in there, but not good stuff for Gronk. So I think it's kind of the Tyler Eifert deal, like I just said. Monitor the practices he's logging or not logging. But I think where I was saying you could probably find a replacement for Eifert, I think if Gronk goes, you play him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And before he got injured, I mean, obviously, if you played him this week, he went off. Yes. And he looked like, you know, he was doing Gronk stuff. He was shaking guys, running through guys, whatever else. You know, he's just really, really doing well there. It's a shame to see him injured, but hopefully it's not serious. The next one that we had was Jimmy Graham. He was shaken up after a huge hit, but returned to that game. Vinny, is there any update on his status as of now, or are we still sort of waiting for news?
I think Jimmy Graham is actually fine. He returned to the game, finished it out. There hasn't been any really update on it, so that leaves me to believe that he's okay.
Fair enough. And then this is probably the biggest hit of the week at tight end was Greg Olsen with a broken foot. He is going to go on IR with, you know, eligibility to return later in the season. However, he will miss at least 8 games. Olsen hadn't been doing a ton so far this season with Cam kind of struggling, but still, you probably drafted him as a top 4 tight end, and this is no good.
Yeah, this really sucks, and there's not a lot of guys to choose from as like a season-long replacement, so we'll try to weed through that later on. But yeah, missing Olsen, like, he wasn't that great, but like you said, it's just a dead draft spot for you this year. So we'll help you find a replacement later on in the show, hopefully.
For sure. And then onto other positions, we have Sam Bradford. It was kind of surprising. I don't know about you, but going into Sunday, I wasn't really aware that he had an issue with his knee. Apparently it's a bone bruise is what they're saying now, but Sam Bradford went out there to test the knee. He did not play, of course. Case Keenum did start, and that had a huge effect on the Vikings' targets, as well as Dalvin Cook. Now, from all signs, it seems like Bradford will go this week, or they're expecting him to go at this point in the week, but definitely something to keep an eye on if you're an owner of, you know, one of the Vikings' targets there.
Yeah, it's a complete bummer, especially after watching Thielen and Diggs go like completely off and look like one of the best wide receiving cores in the league. So this is a huge hit for their values.
It also, sorry, were you going to keep going on Bradford or?
Like a little bit. I was just going to say, like, when Sunday hit and they said Bradford was not playing, I thought it was pretty easy to take away Diggs and Thielen and replace them. So I think it's pretty easy. If Bradford doesn't play, they lose pretty much all their value.
Yeah, and I mean, Cook had a passable game. He got vultured on the 1 yard line, which was unfortunate or fortunate, depending on your point of view, I guess. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to start the pass catchers for Case Keenum. One thing that I was going to say along those same lines is that week one, we had Bradford and the Vikings offense against the Saints, who are a fucking sieve. They're probably the worst defense in the league, maybe the Colts, I don't know. They're terrible. So we had Bradford against them, and we got the high end of the range of outcomes, the range of expectations. We didn't get to see the low end of that or really any other data point because we got Case Keenum. So now we don't really know the true value of any of these Vikings skill position players going forward at this point, because we've seen the high end with their starting quarterback against the worst defense in the league. And then we've just seen with their useless backup, no offense, Case Keenum, but you're relatively useless in a fantasy landscape. So it's really unfortunate because it makes all those players so much harder to value.
Yeah, definitely. So, Walsh, let me see how you feel about this. Would you, if you own Diggs or Thielen, would you be looking to move them now just in case this is like a season long thing while they're kind of at peak value for you?
No, I don't think I would be, because I don't know if I'd agree that they're at peak value. I think, you know, after this past week, people overreact. Even with the Case Keenum thing, people tend to overreact to recent results. So the fact that Diggs had two catches for 27 yards, I believe, this past week is really, really going to hurt you in terms of trade talks. So I don't think I'd be trying to move them. I think I'd be trying to hold them at this point.
Okay, very fair.
Talk to me about the two Green Bay wide receivers next on our list here.
Well, I'll start with the obvious one that's really shitty for a lot of people. He was a first rounder for most, second rounder if you got lucky, Jordy Nelson. Just completely pulled up on his quad, I think like three plays into the game. Leaves you with a fat zero, especially if people in close games, you definitely lost because Jordy gave you nothing and is already considered 50-50 to play against the Bengals this Sunday. So not a lot of good news there for Jordy. I don't really know what I would do if he plays. I feel like you have to.
I don't know if I would play him. I mean, if you have, say you have someone who's mildly playable, like who you can sub in, you know, like say Martavis Bryant, Mohamed Sanu, Jameson Crowder against the Raiders, you know, like names like that with Jordy Nelson, not necessarily at 100% with most likely Adam Jones on him. I don't think I'm playing him.
That's actually a good point. Yeah, they might even throw him out there as a decoy just to, you know.
And the Packers are totally willing to do that because
they've done it in the past too.
Yeah, they'll burn Adam Jones on Jordy. That way, they open up the rest of the pass offense. Like that's a very, very Packers move.
Yeah, and then the other part of that offense, like you just alluded to, Walsh, Randall Cobb, he left the game, did not return. I think that was in the third or fourth at some point in that game, and he injured his shoulder, but the MRI was negative, so. Looking like he's hopeful to play, and I think that he should be fine against the Bengals.
Yeah, Cobb on his way to a huge game. He still had a pretty decent game, but, you know, it is what it is. Just keep an eye out throughout the week, and if he's going, can probably put him in there. Moving on, we have Corey Coleman. This is unfortunate. He broke his hand. It was looking like he had a lot of chemistry with DeShone Kizer early in the season, so very, very unfortunate. Broken hand. Will miss 6+ weeks again. Same exact thing as what happened last year. So if you feel like you've heard this story before, you have.
It is the same sad story for Coleman. It sucks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Really talented dude. And, you know, with Kenny Britt kind of bombing into oblivion, really looked like the breakout wide receiver candidate for that team. We'll get into one other guy who is, you know, looking like potentially a person who needs to be owned later on in the show. Then the next person here was Philip Dorsett. You know, he was fine while he was in there. He didn't really do too much, but knee injury, did not return to the game. The Patriots are running out of passing targets very quickly.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I put it there, because they're pretty much down to Hogan and Cooks.
I wouldn't be surprised to see James White getting even more targets. He got 8 this week. Like he might beat that next week.
Absolutely. And Rex Burkhead left too. So he's injured as well. So they are really down to literally just like at most 3 guys.
What's crazy is they're down so many skill position players. And I think they're still a 13-point favorite going into the week against fucking Houston.
But it makes a lot of sense though.
Yeah. Lose half of your players, you're still a 13-point favorite. I guess the quarterback's pretty good. Moving on, we'll get to another Redskins injury. We had Rob Kelly, rib injury that knocked him out of the game. It's possible he has a fractured rib. Ribs are a little weird, particularly for a running back. He's considered day to day. If a running back has a rib injury, I would think he's going to be out for a couple weeks. I know that's speculation, but I don't know. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, dude, all they do is get hit every single play. So he's getting popped in the ribs virtually the entire game. So I would hope they would play it safe, especially how they use Chris Thompson. And they still have Samaje Perine. So we'll talk about those two dudes later. But yeah.
You want to actually just talk about them right now? Just to...
Why the fuck not? Let's do it, Walsh.
All right. So I'm going to go through sort of what we had last week with Rob Kelly out. So in terms of those two guys, Chris Thompson played 41% of the total snaps in that game. That's including the Rob Kelly snaps where he was healthy. Chris Thompson had 3 carries for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's probably not going to happen again, but he also had 7 targets for 3 catches, 29 yards. That part is what's repeatable. Chris Thompson's going to be the third down back. He's going to be the pass catching back in this offense. And Chris Thompson's pretty good. He has the ability to break big plays. He's not a bad player. Samaje Perine, 37% of those snaps in that game. He had 21 carries for 67 yards. So got a lot of volume on the ground. You know, 1 target, 1 catch, 0 yards. That's not going to be part of his role. But I think in a standard league, Samaje Perine is a guy who you can maybe start if Rob Kelly is out. And Chris Thompson's the better play in the PPR league.
Yeah, I agree. And if Rob Kelly is out, especially this week where they're playing the Raiders, where they should put up a ton of fucking points, both of these guys will have a ton of value. As long as Rob Kelly is out, they're both flex-worthy, possibly RB2s for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Just for a little bit of context there, Washington's at home in that game. It's the Sunday night game. I'm fucking pumped on it. But Washington's at home. Awesome. They're a 3-point dog at home with a 54 over-under. So Vegas thinks that game's going to be a bit of a shootout. I think that game's going to be a bit of a shootout. And you should be able to see a lot of Redskins production here. Talk to me about the Bears running back on this list here.
So this was one of the weirder injuries. Jordan Howard, if you were following last week, had a shoulder ailment he was dealing with and was just limited all week. Gets in the game. Shit, I lost my thing. But he only had a couple carries and then completely
9 carries for 7 yards.
Yeah, and then completely outsnapped and outworked by Tariq Cohen the entire game. So that explained a lot. And then later he just was seen in a sling. And then John Fox was like, yep, go talk to him about that. So it didn't seem like the best situation at all. John Fox is kind of a dick. Looks like Jordan Howard was maybe hiding his injury. Maybe it was worse than it is. But I would be very scared to see what is going to come of this because Cohen's been playing very well, averaging pretty much 8 targets a game at least. And Jordan Howard hasn't really been able to get anything going, at least what you thought he was going to get, drafting him in the 2nd or 3rd round this year. So I'd be very nervous as a Jordan Howard owner, and I would be looking to get Cohen from somebody perhaps for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think after 2 weeks, Jordan Howard is the probably the front runner to be bust of the year, you know, outside of David Johnson, obviously. It's all bad. He hasn't been good when he's in. He's injured, and he's on a bad team that's going to be playing from behind, and he's not the pass-catching back. So all of those things are working against him a lot. I don't know if you can sell him because his value is so low, but you can't play him, certainly. So, I mean, keep an eye out for it, but he's on your bench for the foreseeable future, it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and then moving on here, we've got a couple Titans. We've got DeMarco Murray. He sat out most of the game after minimal usage with tightness in his hamstring. Corey Davis also left with a hamstring deal. He's day-to-day. We were talking about it before the podcast, Vinny. It's the same situation for both of them, where this was a thing sort of for him in the preseason, offseason, and now it's kind of flaring up again. So if you're a DeMarco owner, you drafted him early, what are you doing with this, and how quickly are you running to Derrick Henry, or are you not running to Derrick Henry? I don't know. What's your thought process?
I mean, the way Derrick Henry looks when he's in, especially getting a lot of the work for the majority of the game, he looked great. So I would be running to him pretty quickly because DeMarco Murray hasn't looked terrific all season, and we said that only an injury would be the reason that Derrick Henry takes this role. And lo and behold, here we are at week 2, where an injury has given way to opportunity to this guy. So Derrick Henry going forward looks like a must play as long as Murray is out. But yeah, I'm just worried that DeMarco Murray might be labeled as active, and then maybe you leave Henry on your bench, and then they pull this shit, and Murray's just out for most of the game while Henry gets all the work.
Right, and hamstring injuries are ones that can kind of keep going, if that makes sense. They're ones that can...
They linger.
Exactly, linger. That's the fucking word I was looking for. Jeez.
Good words, good words.
Yeah, I have the best words. just keep an eye on it. It's tough to play DeMarco. Just, keep an eye on the practice reports. Corey Davis, same sort of thing. You're not really playing him anyway. And I don't really know if you're playing the rest of those wide receivers at this point, but something to be aware of. And then we have Terrence West for the Ravens. If you started him this week, which I did in one league, he paid off. He got a touchdown. He did fine. But he is dealing with an undisclosed soft tissue injury in his day-to-day, which is the most vague-ass injury thing that I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, an undisclosed soft tissue injury? What does that even mean?
It means nothing and everything. he's pretty hurt, and it's a lingering issue, and he's day-to-day. We don't know.
Yeah, he could get 25 carries this week, or he could be out for like 9 weeks.
Yeah, we don't know what the fuck is going on. So, again, watch the practice stuff. Limited, full, whatnot. They're playing in London early, so that fucking sucks. You're going to have to be on that if you're planning to play him, or at least check the situation out before the Sunday night games or Sunday game start.
Yeah, definitely. And it's worth noting, too, that Buck Allen played pretty well as well. Also, Alex Collins didn't look bad, filling in as sort of that early down back late in the game.
He did okay. I lost it. 42 yards, 7 carries, and lost a fumble. So he looked good while he was in, didn't look so hot on the fumble, but you said, if he's the early down back, he possesses the same value that West has if West misses time.
It's worth noting too, he got 7 carries. He only played 8 snaps. So they gave him the ball when he was in, most likely because they were up, but still. And then last, but definitely not least, Andrew Luck already ruled out for week 3. The Colts are looking like more and more of a disaster. What are you doing with their players going forward?
I would say the only one I could hold on to is T.Y. Hilton. That is it. Everyone I consider droppable at this point.
Yeah, I mean, spoiler for later on, I think you should drop Dante Moncrief.
Absolutely.
If you picked up Marlon Mack after week 1, I think you should drop him. I have their backfield split here. So, fuck it, let's just get into this now, too. Yeah. The Indianapolis running backs, Gore had 45% of the snaps, 14 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown. Robert Turbin, 39% of the snaps, 3 carries for 11 yards, 1 catch for 8 yards. Marlon Mack, only 15% of the snaps, 6 carries for -3 yards, and 1 catch for 11 yards. Drop Marlon Mack. I don't think you can be fooled by that Gore TD. I don't think you can start him. And Turbin can stay on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I don't want any part of any of those dudes. I would guess a lot of people won't cut bait on Frank Gore, especially after like a somewhat promising week, but they're pretty much all droppable, dude.
Yeah, you don't need to own any of them. Like For example, if you're making the decision on your waiver wire, and I know these two guys were likely picked up last week, but in some cases, maybe they weren't. So if you're sitting there, you've got, say, the first or second waiver, Frank Gore is the last running back on your bench, and either Buck Allen or Chris Carson are on the waiver wire, you drop him in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tariq Cohen.
A great way to put that, dude. If there are better options like those three guys, absolutely 100% get rid of them.
Yeah. All right. So we kind of jumped the gun as we tend to do. Let's get into some of these waiver pickups for this week who we think could help you out. We'll start with running back. Vinny, walk me through the running backs. I know we just talked about some of them, but give me a brief overview here.
Sure. So these, I guess, 3 to 4 guys we talked about last week. So they paid off pretty much. So if you picked them up, good for you. If you didn't, or they're still floating around, here they are. It's Tariq Cohen, Buck Allen, Chris Thompson, and Chris Carson. Make sure to get one of those guys if they are out there for sure. Cohen's probably taking over that backfield, very dynamic. Like I said, has that very high floor of about 8 catches, 8 targets, stuff like that. The Bears are going to be from behind. Go get him now. Buck Allen is going to have a ton of work with this injury to Terrence West. they have a good matchup against the Jags for him to get some passes again. So pick him up, play the shit out of him. Chris Thompson, I think he'll have a like that same limited role, but I do think that you can play him this week, especially in the flex if you're in a pinch. But going forward, I don't know if his value is going to be as high as we saw last week or possibly this week. So he's kind of a fill-in for me. I don't know about season long if I'm going to be wanting to play Chris Thompson every single week.
That's fair. I also think in terms of Redskins, particularly in standard, but I mean, it depends on how desperate you are, but Samaje Perine got 21 carries. Running backs that get 21 carries in a week should probably be on rosters at the very least. So, you know, worth it if he's on your waiver wire. I know he was drafted in a lot of leagues and maybe people haven't cut bait with him yet, but yeah, that's a big one there. And then Chris Carson, I'm going to spoil the whack ass backfield segment here just to demonstrate why you need to own Chris Carson if he's on your waiver wire. So I'll go through the Seattle running back statistics as well. I don't know about you. I thought Rawls might take some of the work. Were you on that same train with me?
Like before this week?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought once Rawls was active and ready to go as the number one, that's what he was going to be. But hey, we said it last week. Pete Carroll is a filthy, no good liar. And guess what?
Yeah.
He fucking lied again.
Oh, yeah. He loves lying and he loves being a dick and he loves sacrificing goats in order to win football games. But that last part is alleged. That's not necessarily true. Thomas Rawls, 20% of the snaps, 5 carries for 4 yards. Fat Eddie, healthy scratch. CJ Procise, 21% of the snaps, 6 targets, 3 catches, 22 yards. He's one who still has a role in that offense, even with, you know, the current situation. And then our boy, Chris Carson, 61% of the snaps, 20 carries for 93 yards, 2 targets, 1 catch, 7 yards. That looks like a starting running back on your fantasy team to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And look how bad they were. They played the 49ers and at home and like fucking stunk up the joint, dude.
Which, are the Seahawks bad?
The Seahawks are a slow burn team. So I'm pretty much on that. Like, they'll be fine. I'm not saying they're shitty. I'm just saying they're struggling early like they always do. So he had a great game in a shit game. So if they're good at any point, he could be another one of those waiver wire steals. And it's early on. It's only week two. So pick him up.
Yeah, absolutely. It was funny. I was thinking about it today. The Seahawks running back situation this year reminds me of the Redskins a couple of years back, where we were debating the offseason, who's the guy to own? Is it Evan Royster or Roy Helu? And then this year we were debating between, is it Rawls? Is it Lacy? Is it Procise? And that year it was for the Redskins, it was a 7th round rookie named Alfred Morris. This year it is a 7th round rookie named Chris Carson. So there you go. There are some parallels.
Are you saying Chris Carson's as good as Alfred Morris, Walsh?
I don't know what I'm saying.
This fucking guy's comparing him.
Yes, that's if you would like to quote me, I say he is Alfred Morris, and he's going to steal his knocking the ball out of park celebration next week, and it's going to be great.
Man, watch with that shit. I'll Stephen A. Smith you all day. Sorry, yelling about nothing that you didn't say.
Stephen A. Smith and me. So then the last running back that we had on the waiver wire thing is kind of like a contingent one on really Terrence West's injury, and that was Alex Collins. Like we said, he'll probably be an early down guy in that offense. Less value in PPR leagues, more so in standard. Do you have anything else on him?
Nope, that's it.
All right, cool. Take me through some of these wide receivers that we got down here.
So this one is not great. It's JJ Nelson. He had a great game, was a hot pickup this week, was a hot play in daily fantasy, and it fucking worked out because you got that huge touchdown pretty much right at the end of the game for a close.
JJ Nelson led all receivers in yards this week.
I know what he did. It was just it was fucked up and terrible. But it's like horrible when that happens, dude. I hate that. And he didn't even have that great of a – well, you know, to lead all receivers for everybody in the league, only 120 yards is very surprising.
Yeah, but that's true. That's a low number for that.
Yes. The main thing is the targets are there. So he got 7, caught 5, and is a huge deep threat in that offense. So JJ Nelson is definitely worth a pickup. He's worth a play if you're you know, dealing with injuries, have been, you know, going through some shit already in this very injury heavy season already.
As many of you probably have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone's kind of fucked, but hold on, let me see who the Cardinals play real quick.
It's Dallas. Dallas on Monday night. Wow.
What so a game. They're going to be behind. So, and guess what? Their corners aren't that hot. So possibly JJ Nelson sneaking another long touchdown. So, and also, like I said, the floor, 7 targets. That could be nice. He's a nice ad. And then we'll take it over to the Panthers, who lost Greg Olsen. So immediately there's already targets just laid out on the table for people. The immediate benefactor was Devin Funchess, who was kind of eating in this game. And I just wanted to get your take on, do you think Funchess is the guy going forward, or was this a lucky game for him? It kind of fell in his lap. Or is Curtis Samuel the smarter ad here?
I think Funchess is the smarter ad, because Curtis Samuel plays a lot of the same role as Christian McCaffrey in the pass game. So sure, Curtis Samuel will be on the field a little bit more, but I mean, Funchess got 7 targets, 4 catches, 68 yards this past week, and now he's Collins. So I think not only is Funchess the better ad long-term this year, but I think Funchess is a guy that you can start this week.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I was actually leading Curtis Samuel because he'll be in the slot, and they kind of used Olsen in the slot. So maybe they'll just start getting this gadget player some more work immediately, since that space is missing in the offense. And I kind of think that you could get away with playing him too. I think it's kind of a toss-up which one is going to perform. But against the Saints, that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, the Saints are a start everyone type defense. So everyone.
grab bag of touchdowns for the entire offense there.
Yeah, for sure.
Try and get in on that. And then we can take it over to the Packers, who, you know, Jordy Nelson is up in the air. So this isn't like a must add, but Geronimo Allison, he played 80% of the snaps once Jordy went down in that game. So he is out there on pretty much every play for the Packers. Do you want to add Allison Walsh, and what do you think he's going to do going forward with Jordy out?
So if Jordy's out, he's, you know, a starting outside wide receiver in that offense, which is definitely worth something. So I definitely think he's worth adding. I don't know if I would be playing him right away. They are playing Cincinnati this next week. So, you know, maybe he's worth it, but I mean, there are, you know, plenty of receivers out there. Like if you own Dante Moncrief and Geronimo Allison's the best guy on the waiver wire for you, which, to be fair, I would pick up Nelson, Funchess, and a couple of the guys we're going to talk about after this before Allison. But if he's the guy available to you, yeah, like I would drop Dante Moncrief for Geronimo Allison.
Yeah, I like that a lot, especially if the Jordy news is not good throughout the week. So looking like a good ad, looking like a good play. My favorite guy this week is Rashard Higgins, who looked awesome as hell and was trying for the Browns. As you can't say the same for Kenny Britt out there.
Yeah, for real.
He is a piece of shit, dude. I saw a little clip of just, it was 4th and 7, 2-score game. And it was, you know, Kaiser dropping back and just the laziest route I've ever fucking seen. It was like if I tried to run one, it was just Kenny Britt just like fucking slugging his feet and then making a slow ass turn while Kaiser just gets sacked. It was awful. So Rashard Higgins wound up with a stat line of, let me get it, 11 targets, 7 catches, 95 yards. Go out there and get this guy while you can. He's looking like a high-volume guy in a very bad offense, but that's what we love in fantasy sometimes. Garbage points are points.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun fact for you listeners, I might have said it in the past, but for you new listeners, it's definitely a fun fact. Kenny Britt, arrested for having a blunt about 5 blocks from my college apartment. regarding Rashard Higgins, something else that will make you like him even more, if you, you know, follow fantasy, follow football, you probably know Matt Harmon. He works for NFL.com. He also does reception perception, which is a really good kind of quantifiable way to look at wide receivers. Rashard Higgins was one of his favorite guys coming out of the 2016 draft. He loved him. This is the first playing time he's really gotten. He put up that line that you said, the 11 for 795 yards. Rashard Higgins is the number one wide receiver ad of the week this week.
Yeah, well said. And I think if you can't get him, the next safest ad, probably the best, next best ad you can get is Mohamed Sanu, who's turning out to be a really effective weapon for the Falcons this year and is really kind of honing that possession receiver role for them and has held up a lot more than I thought he would, especially in, you know, early on in the season. And Julio's healthy too, and he's averaging about 7.5 targets per game. So I like that. He is a solid wide receiver 3 for your team and a nice, you know, plug and play flex if you need him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on Mohamed Sanu. Let's move into the tight ends for this week. So we've got a couple of them, and, you know, like we said earlier, you're probably dealing with some tight end injuries. One of them was, the first one we got was Ben Watson. I believe he had 8 catches on 8 targets this week. Let me double check. Eight targets, 91 yards. He played 74% of the snaps. It's worth noting that Nick Boyle and Max Williams both got significant snaps at tight end for the Ravens, but look, Watson played pretty well. You know, we know tight end is a position that Flacco has gone to a lot in the past, so he's definitely worth an ad.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if the work holds up, and especially the kind of offense they're trying to run is a little strange. I need a few more weeks to kind of figure it out. Like, are they a run-first team? Are they willing to throw a lot? Like, it's kind of wishy-washy so far, but definitely worth an ad. You can fucking play him. It's tight end. No big deal.
Absolutely. The next one we have, Kobe Fleener. Fuck this. I'm so mad. And I even put him on the list.
I know. I didn't put him. I was going to say, you're probably going to say it too. So go ahead, Walsh.
Well, so the reason I have him on there this week is because Willie Snead's not back yet. So you have these targets that are up in limbo. Fleener's caught touchdowns the past 2 weeks. It's so unsexy, and I'd rather have the other guys here, but Kobe Fleener's got to be on that list.
Yeah, I was going to say fuck him. Don't waste your time. And if you can get a guy like Ben Watson or the other guys we're about to say, like Zach Miller, Jason Witten, I would rather get them instead of Fleener, because this is the last week Fleener will be absolutely relevant, and then Willie Snead comes back from his suspension week 4, and he will be the guy over the middle getting all that work. So I would say don't even fucking bother. Why risk it? You don't need to do it.
Okay, fine. we also have Zach Miller of the Bears. Let me see. I have his stat line here somewhere. We should probably be more prepared and less.
I just wrote 6 catches because I'm an asshole.
Oh, good. Good stat line. 9 targets, 6 catches, 42 yards. Not great, but I mean, like, the Bears don't have anyone besides Tariq Cohen right now, so he's there. He's a guy you can pick up. And then the last one we had here was Jason Witten. He had 13 targets, 10 catches. The Cowboys also threw the ball 50 times, which they don't do often, so keep that in mind. But Jason Witten has shown in the first 2 weeks that he is still an integral part of that offense.
Yeah, it seems to be when they get in some kind of panic mode, Jason Witten is there. It's the old safety valve shit. So if you want to play him, you know, go for it. It's okay.
Cool. Let's move on to, actually, before we move on to quarterbacks, there's one more guy I wanted to add to wide receivers that I just noticed was Kendall Wright. In terms of, you know, maybe he's on the waiver wire. He got a lot of targets this week.
He actually got a little banged up. I'm not exactly sure about his status, but he left the game at some point. Not sure if he went back in, but I think it was something with his arm. So I'll just keep tabs on that. But yes, you are correct. He did get target heavy.
Don't fucking listen to me anymore.
Ooh, also, I guess I'll add another one while we're doing this. Tyler Lockett.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, because he outsnapped Paul Richardson by a significant amount this week and had 9 targets. So week 1, it was the opposite, where Richardson got most of the run. Tyler Lockett, coming back from this injury, appears to be the preferred guy there.
Yeah. Also, there was a quote by Doug Baldwin that Richardson, like, his bone was showing out of his skin on his hand. So, follow that, because if Richardson's going to miss any time, Lockett becomes an amazing play, because he is a big play receiver, and if he's going to get, like, 9 targets a game, hell yeah.
And the Seahawks should be better. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So quarterbacks, I'd like to preface these couple recommendations by saying that if you're dealing with Kirk Cousins and Cam Newton, which I think are two of probably the quarterbacks that you might be dealing with this week, thinking about maybe dropping them, maybe picking up someone else. Kirk Cousins plays the Raiders in that huge over-under game that I talked about before. Cam Newton plays the Saints. Don't drop either of them. Hold on to both of them for at least this week and see what happens. That being said, Vinny, take me through the quarterback waiver ads.
Ah, yes. Quarterbacks 1, 2, and 3 on the season so far, which we all predicted. Alex Smith, Carson Wentz, and Trevor Siemian.
Someone just put a bullet in my brain or something. Jeez, man.
I cannot believe this. But here we are. It's about to be week 3, and these dudes are ripping it up. Alex Smith looks like a guy that you can play every week right now. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun on that, but their offense just looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair. He's looked great. We'll see what the matchups bring and whatever else. Yeah.
Carson Wentz, too. The eye test is like Carson Wentz is a very good quarterback. The other part of that eye test is he's going to make some mistakes still. So when you're playing Wentz, you get that high ceiling, but you also get the high potential for a lot of picks. So
yeah,
be wary when you're playing him. It's easy to get excited. He's got a lot of weapons around him, but Wentz is definitely very capable. I would just prefer the matchup be a little sexier to want to play him.
The most impressive thing, maybe not from a fantasy point, but from a real football standpoint, with Carson Wentz for me so far this year has been week 1, he went to Aguilar a bunch. He went to Ertz a bunch. And then week 2, he targeted Aguilar 3 times. He used his outside receivers and he was willing to throw it up to them. So he seems to be willing to take what the defense gives him, which is a very, very good trait for a young quarterback to have, and one that not many second year quarterbacks do have. Just something to keep in mind in there. And then the third one we had was Trevor Siemian. He's looked great. He has 6 touchdown passes, I think, so far this year. That probably the 3 touchdowns a game thing probably won't continue for the entire year. So keep that in mind. But yeah, what do you think about Siemian?
Yeah, I like Siemian. It's just it's kind of like Wentz for me. Like, I would prefer that it be a good matchup because I don't want to get burned playing him in like a middle of the road kind of matchup and just kind of get a bum week out of him when he's been so good. So like getting a 13 or something out of him would just bum me out because there are, you know, better quarterbacks than Siemian and probably going to get more work out of those guys. So be a little wary of Siemian when you're going to play him, but he has looked great and, you know, just roll with him if you want, but you definitely don't have to. You don't have to gamble on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to the drops of the week. We already mentioned a couple of these guys, Marlon Mack, Dante Moncrief, Eddie Lacy. The one that we have a question on is Adrian Peterson. Are you dropping Adrian Peterson?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, never mind. No question. Fuck
it. I thought we said that last week.
Did we? Maybe. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure we did. Did you put the question mark? Because I didn't.
Yeah, I put the question mark. I thought I was trying to be like sly and mysterious and shit. Was I not doing that?
You're being something.
All right, cool, man.
So, yeah, I would get rid of Peterson. I'm assuming you would do the same.
Yeah, I'm getting the fuck rid of him, for nice. Sure. All right, and then into guys, should you panic about them? The first, Terrell Pryor. Vinny, are you panicking?
I am a little bit, but I also view Pryor as a buy-low candidate because we saw him, you know, the first week get a ton of targets, and maybe if the Redskins get their shit together, I don't know. Just with his talent and stuff like that, you don't want to give up on him too soon. So I'm a little worried, but not panicking yet.
Yeah, if you're going to buy low, this is the week to do it because you can explode this week against the Raiders most likely. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, let's move on to the next one. Isaiah Crowell, I am panicking.
Yeah, me too. This was a guy.
You own a shitload of him too.
Yeah, I own so much Crowell. I should be ashamed of myself. But the one thing I will say is his matchups coming up for the next 3 weeks are Colts, Bengals, and Jets. So,
ooh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, things are gonna get brighter for Isaiah Crowell for a little bit, and then it gets worse again. So,
sell him after the Jets. Is that what you're saying?
Sell, baby, sell. But yeah, just looking at Crowell like. It's that typical, like, sucked 2 weeks, and then, you know, week 3, you'll bench him, and then he'll go off. So just kind of hang in there for a couple more weeks and see what happens, because I think there's a little faith to be had, but like I said, it doesn't get better after, you know, that tiny little hole of light shimmering through.
Okay. Christian McCaffrey, are you panicking?
Yeah, because I think he's going to have a good week against the Saints. But then I don't know what really happens after that. Like, the game script has to be perfect for him, and it sort of has. Like, the Cam has had to throw a lot, and it's been mostly dump offs, and Christian McCaffrey hasn't really got enough rushing work or production, really. So he's only averaging 2.7 yards a carry, only 8 yards per catch. So his upside is kind of missing right now. And unless he's going to get a whole lot of volume, I'm a little worried about him going forward. And if I think a guy in your league is high as shit on him, try and sell him to him. See what he's like, feel him out for a trade. Cause I'm a little worried about their offense.
Yeah. I'm watching him rip apart the Saints this week and then trying to sell him to the highest bidder immediately.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's, it's possible he does better, but I don't really see it. Next, we have Aaron Rodgers and kind of the Packers as a whole. Are you panicking on Aaron Rodgers?
Not at all. We saw this last year. We were probably talking about the same thing around week 2 or 3. And you got to hang in with Rodgers. Absolutely. I wouldn't even try to sell him because he'll have great games, even throwing to Geronimo Allison the entire game. So hang on to those guys. I would be a little worried about Jordy just because of the health thing, but everyone else, you know, I'm just hanging on to all the Packers. I think they'll be fine.
Same with me. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, what's your take here?
I'm panicking a lot because these guys were so good with Bradford in. I know they played the Saints, like you said, and there's really no middle ground to judge them on. So it's very hard to gauge the panic level. So I think all that does is make the panic level worse. So I'm not looking to play these guys anytime soon. And with like the ambiguity behind Bradford's injury, I would be looking to move these guys or get some kind of value while you, I guess you can or can't. I can't gauge it, but I'm very nervous about both of them.
Okay. That's fair. I'm okay with them. I'm holding them and just kind of waiting to see what happens with Bradford, but I understand where you're coming from there. And then the last guy on this list I'm going to take the lead on is Brandon Cooks. I know I've seen people on Twitter and wherever else kind of panicking about Brandon Cooks and being like, oh, I should have, you know, not gone that way or whatever. To me, Brandon Cooks is the ambulance in that Simpsons episode where he hears the siren and he's just going, buy me, buy me, buy me. Brandon Cooks is like such a buy low right now. We talked about it before where the Patriots have hardly any targets left. Brandon Cooks missed a touchdown by a yard this week because Brady underthrew him. How often is Brady going to underthrow him? I know there are people out there panicking about Brandon Cooks. Do not do it. And if you see people in your league panicking about Brandon Cooks, send them a trade offer and see what happens, because the breakout is coming, and when it happens, it will be of huge proportions.
I love the Simpsons reference. I love your take on it. You're absolutely right. Go out there, send those trade feelers out, and tickle Brandon Cooks out of them, because he's going to be very good. And, like, who the fuck do the Patriots have? They got no one left. It's
– yeah.
Brandon Cooks is their official guy. That's all they have.
It's worth noting, too, this week people were like, where is he? He was being shadowed by the only good defensive player on the Saints. That's Marshawn Lattimore, their rookie cornerback. And for, you know, to all of his credit, Lattimore did great. But Cooks is not going to be shadowed by him every single week. And this is – a huge, huge breakout waiting to happen.
Yes, couldn't agree more.
All right, so on that note, we're going to take a quick break, hear from our pals over at Bench Boss, and we'll be right back to go through some of the rest of the action.
This year, dominate your friends with free play-by-play fantasy football from Bench Boss. Bench Boss is the first play-by-play fantasy football game where you must think like the players and coaches on the field as you predict the outcome of every play. Earn rewards as you compete against friends and fans across the country. Bench Boss is currently recruiting beta testers, and we need you. Visit benchboss.tv to learn more and sign up today.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was our good friends Bench Boss. Again, make sure you check them out. Extremely good stuff over there. So now that we've gone through the injuries and, you know, some of our waiver pickups, whatever else going on here, we're just going to kind of go through some of the stuff that happened this past week, and we're going to get through a couple of listener questions. So, Vinny, we're going to start with some of the good stuff that happened. Kareem Hunt, man. Kareem Hunt just went off again. I know he had that 53-yard rushing touchdown that did make up the majority of his yards on the ground this game, which is a little bit concerning, but man, he's just still doing it. And the Chiefs offense as a whole, what's your take on this? Is this going to last?
Yes. They're very fucking good. Hunt is amazing. And like I said before with Alex Smith, like that offense is fucking firing on all cylinders. They're getting Travis Kelce involved. Kareem Hunt gets a ton of work. He's awesome as shit. And they always have, you know, Tyreek Hill to bust open a game for them. So I really like what they're doing. They beat the fucking Patriots opening night. Like that's also like another huge narrative thing that I don't know if it's being underrated, overrated, some kind of rated, but you got to love what the Chiefs are doing. And
it's being rated R, baby, for sexual content, because Kareem Hunt fucked the Patriots.
And then the Eagles, dude. He's just slamming ass all over the NFL. They're looking like the team to beat in the AFC as of right now. So I like everything about them. I think it'll keep up.
Yeah, the Kelce thing was great because I was playing Kelce against Shrek, and Shrek's a big Chiefs fan. So it was nice to see Shrek immediately celebrate things and then be like, oh, fuck, I'm playing Walsh. But you know. It is.
Dude, I was in the room with him and we were watching it and it was so awesome. Shrek jumped up and was like, yes, literally 0.5 seconds. He's like, fuck. Right away.
With that touchdown where he dove in.
Yep. The big one.
That's great. So moving on to the Lions, we have our boy, Eric Ebron, had a very, very good game after a week one struggle. Now it's worth noting, Ebron still only had 5 targets in this game. Then again, the Lions only threw the ball 21 times, so he got over 20% of the targets. Do you buy Eric Ebron do you buy week 2 Eric Ebron as opposed to week 1 Eric Ebron going forward?
I would love to say yes, but I cannot right now because
no.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
Breaking my heart.
I'm trying not to be a biased piece of shit, but like I would love to say yeah, but
you're a better man than I.
Yeah. So the trend right now is that the Giants are pretty bad against the tight end. They got wrecked by Witten. They got wrecked by Ebron. I think if that continues through week 4, we move from a trend to a pattern, and that's when you'll know that the Giants are just bad at defending the tight end. So I think Ebron was just like benefiting from that. Not solely, but because when I look at him in the offense, he doesn't get enough targets and he doesn't really get enough red zone looks. And the guys that catch touchdowns there are Marvin Jones and Kenny Golladay. So I'm worried about the touchdown share and I'm worried about the work. So it's pretty concerning, but if you're in a tight end mess, like rolling out Ebron every week is not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I think he'll be fine this week. They play the Falcons at home. That's a nice matchup. I think they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. Like I said, they only threw the ball 21 times this past week. I would expect it to be at least double that against the Falcons. So I like that matchup. I think that'll work out just fine. But I agree that maybe he's not your full year fucking
guy.
Solution guy, either of those work. But this week he'll get the job done, guy. I'm looking for a word. What word is it? It's guy.
More good words. Great words.
Yeah, great words. We have the best words. Let's move on to the Eagles. This week we saw Alshon break out after Aguilar broke out kind of the first week. I do have their stat lines here. Just give me one quick moment. So Alshon had 13 targets, 7 catches, 92 yards and a touchdown. Aguilar, 3 targets, 1 catch, 9 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown really saved you at the end of the game. But what do you think about this? What's the real situation with these? It's also worth noting Torrey Smith had 8 targets this past week. What's the real Eagles offense? Is it the Alshon-led offense or the Aguilar-led offense?
Got to be Alshon. He's a better wide receiver. He has a higher touchdown upside, and Aguilar is a bad wide receiver.
Correct.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. If you have Aguilar and you picked him up and you played him, you got lucky. I would, if they're like the guys that we talked about earlier, especially a guy like Higgins, Sanu, JJ Nelson, pick those guys up, drop Aguilar. You got what you could out of him. which is pretty much like an okay game because no one played a week one, I would just completely get rid of them. Don't even pick up any of those guys.
I think that's fair. The Eagles play the Giants this week. We know Janoris Jenkins is a good corner, but I don't think he's Josh Norman. I think Alshon can do just fine against him. So keep that in mind going forward. Let's go over to the Dolphins. Cutler and his two best buddies had pretty good games. His two best buddies, of course, being Jarvis Landry, who had 15 targets, 13 catches, and 76 yards.
Maybe? That is correct, dude. He would catch it and then fall down. And it would he would just go down.
While we're on this, I think this is like the most stereotypical of like every single Dolphins skill position player. So I'm just going to go through them. Mm-hmm. Ajayi, 28 carries, 122 yards, two catches, 4 yards. Very stereotypical, like Ajayi, we're going to feed you type game. The TDs will come with him. And then their wide receivers and like Julius Thomas as well. It's just insane. Like the most Jarvis Landry game ever. What do you think it would be? 15 targets, 13 catches, 78 yards. The most Devontae Parker game ever. 9 targets, 4 catches, 85 yards. The most Kenny Stills game ever. 5 targets, 2 catches, 37 yards, and 1 touchdown. And then probably the most Julius Thomas game ever too. 3 targets, 3 catches, 26 yards.
Like, if he had a touchdown, it would have been stereotypical across the board.
Oh, yeah, completely. Like, for the wide receivers, at least, that just sums up what these guys have been for the Dolphins, you know?
You know what that is, Walsh? That's just great leadership out of your quarterback there who shows that he can command the offense, use the guys for what they're worth, and get the best out of every single player on the field while maximizing his own potential. And that is Jay Cutler, ladies and gentlemen. He is the best.
You fucking hear that, Rogers? You hear that, Don?
Yeah, wake up, you fucks. Cutler is great. Also, go out there and pick up some Cutler if you're in a pinch for QB. They're playing the Jets, baby.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah. That's not just
a great streaming option.
Yeah, no, for sure. So if you like doing ballsy things and smoking cigarettes, go pick up Cutler and enjoy your Sunday.
I like both of those things. So you know what? I might do that.
Have a day. See.
And then the one of the other things we wanted to touch on in terms of good stuff this past week was the Broncos offense. Trevor Siemian, obviously, we touched on earlier. CJ Anderson had a huge week. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas both got significant targets. Sanders got the 2 touchdowns, but like both were pretty solid starts. Do you buy the Broncos offense going forward? Because they've honestly looked great so far this year.
Yeah, they again, it hinges on their defense and how Siemian plays, but I guess you could say that about really any fucking team, how the quarterback plays in their defense. But they
nice analysis, Phil.
Yeah. I'm going to get fired and replaced by Romo, which would be better for everybody. But when they're clicking, they are one of those, you know, top AFC teams. AFC. I'm done saying that word. So I'm really looking forward to them playing the Chiefs. I want to see like the best of the best and just kind of slug it out or have a shootout, which we don't expect, but
no Raiders in there.
Oh, sorry, Walsh. I was just trying to, you know, they've only beat up on shit teams so far. Well, I guess the Titans are okay, but yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the Raiders taking on like a contender. Let's put it that way too.
Okay.
But yeah, Broncos offense, I'm full in. When you have a healthy CJ Anderson, this team is completely different because they can grind away wins with him and they can get the passing game going, as we saw. Like Virgil Green caught a touchdown. That's some crazy stuff. Once they set up the run, they set up the pass. And then Simeon's playing very well. So I really like what the offense is doing. I'm pretty much buying into it as long as CJ Anderson is healthy, because with that, they control the entire game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're redrafting after 2 weeks, I think CJ Anderson is a late first round, early second round pick at this point.
I'll take that as a compliment, because I think I took him in like the 5th in ours.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I got him in the 5th in the one league I have him in too.
Makes me feel really fuzzy.
But I mean, if you're looking at it today, you would take him ahead of Jordan Howard, and DeMarco Murray. You know, there's a lot of guys in there that, you know, he'd obviously be ahead of the Marshawn Lynches and, you know, whoever else of the world. But yeah, CJ Anderson was people were very skeptical about him going into this year, and he's been great so far. And at this point, I don't see any reason for that to stop.
Yeah, they look like a very, very good team.
All right, let's get into everyone's favorite segment, Whack Ass Backfields. Play the sound drop. I don't think we have a sound drop. All right, so our first whack ass backfield is Philadelphia. Many of you, including Vinny, may have drafted LeGarrette Blount high in drafts this year.
I actually owned zero.
For real? You were talking him up all summer.
If you remember correctly, Walsh, I talked him up for three podcasts, backed off him for like another five.
Okay, well, fair enough. So Philadelphia's backfield in general, it's the roles have kind of switched. And we mentioned that earlier, how kind of the Eagles are willing to move things around based on the team that they're playing. So who knows what's going to happen next week. But this past week, Sproles had 69% of the snaps, 10 carries for 48 yards, four targets, two catches, 30 yards. Smallwood had basically nothing, and Blount had only 8% of the snaps, zero carries, one target, zero catches. It's worth noting that Philly only ran one play inside the 10 the whole game, so it's very possible that Blount still has the goal line role. But at this point, this is Sproles' backfield. Am I wrong there?
No, you're completely right. I mean, the 60% snap share is definitely what...
69%?
Exactly, almost 70. Oh. So, yeah. So, when you're looking at that, and then Sproles' potential to break out a big play, that's a guy who's flex-worthy almost every single week. Got a nice floor, got a huge ceiling, very playable week to week. LeGarrette Blount, not so much. That's going to be complete game script and luck at some points because they're going to have to wind up on the goal line to use him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably the toughest guy to pinpoint of anyone in this backfield. Sproles is the guy that you want here. Smallwood is doesn't really deserve to be owned at this point, and I don't think Blount really does either.
Yeah, if you got to drop him for anybody that we mentioned before, go ahead and feel free to do it.
Speaking of dropping people for people that we mentioned before, I would drop the entire Bengals backfield for Buck Allen.
Whoa. Hold your horses there, Walsh.
Even Joe Mixon.
You're crazy, dude. All right, the only thing I will say, I mean, you're probably right, but the one thing I will say in defense of that entire backfield is they just changed OC over to Bill Lazor, and immediately he was like, we got to get the QB and the running back in a rhythm. What that meant to me was they're going to get one guy because they've been rotating all three of those guys and pretty much tanking all their values together and not getting a nice game script out of any of those guys. So I either think that Mixon gets immediately thrown into the starting role or they roll Hill again. And I think Gio's role is safe once again. So I don't know if I would. I just sound like an idiot at this point defending them.
All I'm going to say about Bill Lazor is that me and Bill Lazor, if you remember, if you've been a longtime listener, I thought the Dolphins were going to be one of the best teams in the league 2 years ago. Me and Bill Lazor have danced way too many midnight dances, and he's taken me back to his hotel room. And then in the morning, I wake up, and the door's unlocked, and there's no one lying beside me. So that's what I have to say about Bill Lazor and whatever the fuck that he's going to do. I don't trust that guy for shit.
Fair enough, but you know what? That year, don't put yourself down, Walsh. You predicted the best Mike Wallace year of all time out of that.
That's also true.
Yeah, he gave you a lot of great memories. Don't forget that.
Some real bad ones though too. Yeah.
The only thing I'm trying to say about the Bengals backfield before we get carried away with Walsh's love life is I'm a little scared to drop someone because someone's going to retain value out of that three. It's a 1-3 shot. I would be nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess go with what Vinny says on that one because Bill Lazor is bringing up bad memories for me. But then again, Vinny's also biased about the Bengals too, so who knows?
That's why I'm saying maybe not.
So we're both stupid is the point of this. Backfield that we've got in whack-ass backfields is the Texans. So if you watch the game, you saw that Deontay Foreman had a decent amount of work. How it really ended up was – Lamar Miller got 74% of the snaps. He got 18 carries for 61 yards, three targets, three catches, 26 yards.
He had a pretty decent game, dude.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, honestly. Deontay Foreman had 26% of the snaps. Only 17 snaps, but got carries on 12 of them. That was for 40 yards. Tyler Irvin also got 41% of the snaps, but he was lined up as a wideout a lot because they didn't have any wideouts. So don't worry about that. Miller's still the guy, I think.
Yeah, he is. We didn't talk about Deontay before, but
I feel like he's owned though a lot.
Yeah, he probably is, because he kind of, I guess people expected like a handcuff or got talked up in that whole like rookie shit. But
right,
if he's out there, he's worth like an ad for sure. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't go nuts about like what is his upside really? And they're not, you know, like, he looks good when he's playing, but you know, Lamar Miller is still the guy getting, you know, almost 80% of the snap share there. So not a whole lot. Like, he's like a handcuff, like injury kind of pickup guy, if you want to do it at all.
Yeah, I think that's fair. In terms of the rest of the running backs that we had, or the running back cores that we had here, we had Tennessee. We talked about them already. We already talked about Seattle. Let's talk about the Jets.
This
Forte
sucks.
Dude, it sucks a lot, because I think a lot of people drafted Bilal Powell as kind of like their pass catching back. And I'll go through the stats of what happened this week. Forte, 48% of the snaps, 9 carries, 53 yards, 4 catches, 4 targets, 38 yards. Bilal Powell, 32% of the snaps, 6 carries for 13 yards. That's not good. 2 targets, 0 catches, obviously 0 yards from those 0 catches. And then we have another wrench thrown into this. We have Elijah McGuire at 20% snaps, 6 carries, 29 yards, 2 targets, 1 catch, 7 yards. If Bilal Powell's only going to get 2 targets, he's useless, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say drop him, because you really can't.
What if Buck Allen's on the line? What if Chris Carson's on the waiver wire and he's your last guy?
Don't do that shit to me.
It's a situation that could be out there.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I think you're also 100% right in the fact that you should drop Bilal Powell for any of those guys. Fuck. It just sucks, because a lot, you know.
He was like a 5th or 6th round pick in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and I would say a lot of people went wide receiver heavy, and Bilal Powell is your number 2 or 1. In some extreme situations, he was your 1, which was, you know, a little risky to bank on, but holy shit, like to have the first 2 weeks pan out like this is the fucking worst.
Yeah, Forte's the only guy to own there. Elijah McGuire just completely makes Bilal Powell worthless to me.
Yeah, if they're not going to run Powell out there as, you know, pass-catching guy who's going to be a garbage-time hero, there's really no upside at all.
And if we're looking at the eye test, Forte's been the best, McGuire's been the second best, and Powell's been the worst. So,
wow, you're right again. Jesus Christ. This is just awful. So awful.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really do much there, but it's the Jets. We're trying to squeeze running back value out of it. Right now, it's just Forte. And then the Giants' backfield, none of them are worth anything.
No, I would drop fucking every single one of them. I don't care what round you took Perkins in, get rid of them. There's zero value. Dude, eye test, like you just said, Darkwell looks amazing compared to the rest of those guys there. It's not even close. It's not even close, actually.
Vereen might be worth something in some weeks, but then again, they've been down the past couple of weeks and he still hasn't been worth anything. So
yeah, that's the other thing. Like, he'll, like, Eli just, it's not even all his fault. Like, their line is just so bad.
Their line's garbage, dude.
Yeah. So rushing is out. Their line is so bad. Eli can't get a fucking pass off. Vereen got lit up on that last play. Like,
yeah,
it was just, you know, there's really no upside to any of them.
I said the Bengals, I would drop all of them for Buck Allen. The Giants, I would drop all of them for Alex Collins. Like, that's how bad they are.
I would drop all of them for like a second defense at this point.
Give me Giorgio Tavecchio for Paul Perkins.
Give me 2 kickers, 2 tight ends, 2 defenses before I still own one of these guys after week 3.
Yeah, for real, man. All right. Out of whack-ass backfields and into kind of just things that are happening, though still in the backfield, Le'Veon Bell got almost 30 touches against the Vikings this week and scored less than 15 points. What do you make of this after a disappointing week 1 for him as well?
That he has to get going at some point. I feel like we're still in that phase of denial right now. So just kind of hang around and, like, dude, it's Bell. I wouldn't go crazy panicking, trying to shop him or anything like that. Bell is due. And, you know, as the season goes on, he's only going to be more valuable. So don't freak out about it. And Minnesota's a good defense. So, you know, getting like 27 carries, you know, some passing work. I think the passing work is the biggest thing to panic about, because he has not been like Bell-like at all in the passing attack so far.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not panicking about him at all. Panic abouting, Jesus. I'm not panicking about him at all at this point. It's early still. Bell will become Bell. Maybe not to the superstar extent that we expected, but he's going to be a top five running back by the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking what about of Zeke? Top five backs, Zeke, that was embarrassing. Like, what do you get? 9 carries, 8 yards.
Oh yeah.
That was, I understand it's the Broncos, but like, holy shit. And there's like that whole narrative, like you quit on the team, like whatever, dude, they were getting smacked, like the entire team. So I wouldn't throw it all on Zeke. Maybe his attitude sucks, but like, I'm not worried, but like, how many times are they going to play the Broncos? That's it. So keep rolling out Zeke. I think they're going to mess the Cardinals the fuck up this week.
Oh yeah. They're going to kill them. The Cardinals are bad and the Cowboys are going to be pissed. They'll be fine. I don't think Zeke is going to be. So here's the thing. I never thought Zeke was worth the third pick, but you got him in the second round. So he's going to be worth that. And don't worry about it.
Absolutely. Sit tight. Let it play out. Zeke is Zeke. The team will get it together. Don't worry about it.
So sticking with the Cowboys, we had Dez getting 16 targets, still doing okay. I mean, he caught that touchdown that saved him. I'm on the boat of Dez is good against bad cornerbacks and bad against good cornerbacks. Are you in on that or?
I really wasn't. I mean, the stats are completely against my opinion, but I just thought Dez could be able to get away with some good games, which he kind of did here against Aqib Talib. But if you're getting 16 targets, like, and you're Dez, come on, man, put up 30 points. It's kind of wild that he didn't really make the most out of it. But it was a very strange game, and we're only going to see more of this. Dez against some really good corners. So this was the thing that a lot of people were afraid of. I was, you know, an advocate for saying Dez is good enough to have good games. This is one good game so far. I don't know how many times, like, you can ride this out, because he's not going to be getting 16 targets against some of the top corners in the league. So I would be very worried.
Yeah, I'm worried if I drafted Dez early. I mean, he's just very dependent on that matchup from what it seems like. And, you know, he's very dependent on touchdowns too. So it's a tough one to deal with, but, you know, you probably don't have better options, honestly, certainly if you not. Drafted no. him that early. On the Giants side of the ball, we had Odell was active. He was bad. The whole offense was bad. If I'm an Odell owner, I'm hoping they sit him till he's healthy. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I was surprised he played, honestly. Like, I understand it was the home opener. I'm sure that played in a lot to it, but just really, really, like you said, sit till you're healthy. We don't want you out there. Wait, like, not to sound like an asshole in fantasy, but if you're not, like, even for him, just if you're not healthy, don't play.
Yeah. It's not like they need him to be a decoy because, like, they might win. They're terrible.
Yeah, they're a very, just, very bad team.
Like, just sit until you're healthy. Yeah, you're not, like, helping the team by being out there at half strength because the rest of the team still can't do shit.
Yeah, if you're not going to do shit against the Lions, who are like kind of an up-and-coming team, you're not going to be a good team. That's just it. And you're going to have a lot of trouble in that division as it is. So stay, get healthy, sign a fucking offensive lineman. Your team is shit. Like, it's just, that's the situation right now. Over for the Giants. Walsh, would you be looking to move Odell, get Odell? Is this kind of a Bell situation, or is it just completely, you know, hinging on his health?
I wouldn't be trying to trade for him, and I would be holding him if I had him, because I think the perception of value for Odell is probably all over the spectrum. So maybe if you've got someone who overvalues him and you own him, then yeah, sure. Or in the same sense, maybe if the owner just completely undervalues him, which if they drafted him, I don't think they would. But yeah, I think you're really just holding and seeing what happens at this point.
Yeah. I would be in the party that if you can get two awesome players out of it, like, you know, maybe like a kind of a first round level kind of running back, maybe like Devonta Freeman, and then like a middle of the line wide receiver for Odell.
I don't think you can. I don't even know if you could get Freeman straight up for Odell right now.
Holy shit, really? See, I think Odell holds a lot of name value around like the fantasy community. So
okay.
I'm entirely basing, like, my entire basis of my argument is on that. So
okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So the The last thing we had here before we get to the questions was the Cardinals are bad. And we kind of went through this before. Nelson was great. The rest of the team was bad. I will say Jerron Brown had 11 targets. He didn't get that many catches. What the fuck happened to Larry Fitzgerald this week?
I don't know. Are we going to overreact to this and say he's done and then he's going to have like a great later half of the season?
I'm going to say we're not going to overreact, but we're still going to say he's done and it's going to be right. He's toast, man. He's done for.
Stephen A, baby. He's back. I feel really bad because when I was looking at this year, I'm like Carson Palmer last year, potentially Larry Fitzgerald last year, potentially David Johnson, young dude that can get them as a contender and then just immediately gone. Week two.
Yeah, they're fucking wiped. Romanticism, dude. It's over.
They are so done. Like, they're done. So maybe that has something to do with it, but even his targets aren't there. So Larry Fitzgerald, his floor is gone. Oh, man. I don't even know what to do with him at this point. You got to hold him, but fuck, man. Wishful thinking at this point.
Also, on the Cardinals, I think the best running back to own at this point is Ellington because he's the pass-catching back, and they're going to be playing from behind because they're bad.
I agree with that. And you got a nice snap share. And the only positive – Kerwin Williams dropped the fuck out of him. This was a bad experiment.
Yeah, no.
It did not work. So if you had him, maybe go get Chris Johnson for whatever it's worth. He will get the early down back work. And then, like you said, Ellington is definitely the PPR guy there.
All right, so let's get into these listener questions. We got four of them, then we're going to close it out. We know it's been a bit of a long one because Vinny and I like to ramble when we have beers in us. But
and this is important stuff. It's very important.
Yeah, I feel like everything we've said has been extremely important. So,
hanging on every single word we say, Walsh.
Yeah, and if you haven't been, what's your problem, man? Or woman, I'm not trying to be sexist, fucking whatever. But anyway, listener questions. Should I start Buck Allen, Terrence West, or Lamar Miller in standard? Before the in standard, Buck Allen was the answer. Because if it was PPR, it was always Buck Allen. But what do you think about in standard?
In standard, I lean Lamar Miller. The thing is, they're playing the Patriots, so they don't have a pass catching back, and Lamar Miller's not bad out of the backfield catching passes. So if they're going to play from behind, Miller's going to be in. His floor would be super low, but his ceiling is it's there. So I like the Texans playing from behind. So I'm going to go Miller there.
I'm going to go Buck Allen, but I think it's close between him and Miller. So
it really is. And then the Terrence West, if he was healthy, this would be almost an impossible question because he is almost guaranteed all that goal line and early down work. So
yeah,
for now it's definitely Miller for me and Buck Allen for Walsh.
Yeah. Take a look at the injury reports going forward this week too, and see what happens there with Terrence West. Next question here, who won this trade? Our reader receives Devontae Parker and Delanie Walker, and he got rid of Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett. Vinny, who won?
By a fucking landslide, it's whoever submitted this question, you bragging motherfucker.
I like that, though. I like submitting the question specifically to brag about how you fucked this dude in trade. I like that a lot. Who won this trade that I totally won? Homeboy got Devontae Parker and Delanie Walker for Brandon Marshall, who's been absolutely terrible, and Martellus Bennett, who has also been absolutely terrible,
also the worst.
Yeah,
Jesus, like not even like, oh my god, it's you won, dude. You won, and you won because you got on the podcast and we answered the question.
Yeah,
you are the king of the universe.
You won the trade, and I appreciate the machismo in terms of putting that question in for us. Next question here. So should I trade West and Rawls for Howard? And then second part of that, are any of these three going to bounce back? And so my answer here is that I think West and Rawls is the winning side of that trade, because I think out of those three, West has the biggest chance to bounce back. West, we don't know his injury situation. Rawls, I think, is done. I think Chris Carson's the guy. CJ Procise has the pass catching role. Howard, I have no idea what to think about. So I think West has the biggest chance of bouncing back, and whoever has him wins the trade.
Yeah, especially when you're trading for a guy who just left the last game in a sling and is kind of not talking to his head coach or whatever the hell is going on. So it did not look too good for Howard right now. So, yeah.
All right. And then last question here. I'm an owner of DeMarco. Would you trade Steph Diggs for Derrick Henry? I have three other receivers, and those are Demaryius, Alshon, and Golden Tate. Vinny, what do you think here?
See, I think I know what you're going to say, so I'll kind of play devil's advocate here and kind of plays on what I said before is how nervous I am with the Sam Bradford news. So this seems like a real solid trade for me right now. You send out Diggs. You don't know what's going to happen with him. You don't know what's going to happen with DeMarco. You buy that insurance that you really need on this team because your wide receivers are pretty awesome. You got Demaryius Thomas, who's very solid. You got Alshon with the upside and Tate with that PPR floor. So I really like what you have going on with those three wide receivers. You get rid of Diggs, who's a huge question mark right now with a question mark on Bradford big time. You get Derrick Henry. You can play those guys as you need to with between DeMarco and Henry, as long as there's no, you know, vagueness with the injury there, with the tightness in the hamstring. So I like getting the insurance policy on this play.
I'm actually on your side on this one.
Wow. Okay, cool. Because I was worried you wouldn't want to trade Diggs with what you you said before. So
here's the thing. I think Diggs is a more valuable player than Derrick Henry this year.
Absolutely.
And I think those three receivers and the running back situation really shift the scales in terms of making Henry more valuable in this specific situation. So I'm willing to get rid of Diggs given those three wide receivers. I'm sure if you get an injury or bye weeks or whatever, you can piece together something on the waiver wire to make that work. And like you said, we don't know what's going to happen with DeMarco. He has a hamstring injury. We know these things linger occasionally. So Derrick Henry to me is very valuable as a DeMarco owner, and I would absolutely do that trade.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. Vinny, you got anything else for the listeners this week?
No, not really. I think we were pretty, you know, on our game.
Thorough?
Thorough as shit. Enjoy.
Really going at it?
Enjoy the gift that we've given to you in the form of this podcast.
Yeah, for all of you listeners, I'd like you to know that I sacrificed going to WWE SmackDown Live tonight in order to record this podcast. It was in Oakland, and I live in San Francisco. So that's how much I love you guys. With that being said, thank you again for, you know, listening and tuning in each week. Tune in later this week. We'll have Rogers and Don with the preview podcast or podcasts. I don't know if it's going to get broken up into two.
That should get very heated.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. If sneak preview, the two of them played each other this past week in our main league, and things got a little interesting. So keep an eye out for that. That should be a lot of fun. You know, if you listen to us each week, make sure you're subscribing on iTunes. Make sure you're giving us a review if you do feel so inclined. Check out the Let's Talk Fantasy Football apps compatible on the Echo Dot. And if Vinny doesn't have anything else, then I don't think I really have anything else. So for Vinny, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.